flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Tuesday morning. Well, look, it's day two reaction to the Eagles' demolition of the Washington Commanders. The Birds return to the Super Bowl, fifth time in team history. We'll look ahead, certainly a bit. We'll look back quite a lot, and we'll just revel. We'll continue to revel in the excitement, the majesty of what this team has put out there this year, and all of it with you on the phone lines, 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello there, Joe.
How are you, pal?
I'm good. There's a giant earthworm from Australia that's 10 feet long.
Ew.
That is an ew.
It really is gross. It's disgusting.
It's a basketball hoop of a worm.
Think about that. Yeah, wow. It is exactly a basketball hoop. We dissected worms in, I think it was eighth grade.
Biology?
Sure.
Okay.
So I think it was all-encompassing,
sure.
Science
back
class.
Back then, yeah, I understand.
But the bio unit, the dissection unit of bio, we dissected worms, and it really was. Like, I wasn't grossed out by worms at all when I was fishing with them. You know, like, just you hook them on the hook, you fish with them, love them.
But then.
But when you have to dissect the worm and, like, learn, and I don't know, it just seemed so much grosser.
Not good.
But 10 feet of worm is too much.
No, it's way too much. I want to dissect something real quick before we go where I thought we were heading today. James, did you hear that commentary by that? What was that guy's name, J.R.?
I'm J.R.
All right. Let me just tackle this situation for one second. Now, a lot of people might not agree with me on this, but I think most will. I think most people, if you missed his commentary, it was like, oh, I don't know, 75 seconds ago, and he's talking about people think the NFL is rigged. I think most fans don't think it's rigged. I don't think that's the right term. I think what most people believe, and I am one of them, is that Patrick Mahomes gets preferential treatment in the moment by referees who lean in his direction to give him the benefit of the doubt on calls.
Exactly.
I'm not saying Roger Goodell calls Mr. Referee number 37 and says, hey, Referee 37, give the Chiefs this call with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
WWE said that's scripted. Yeah, it's not scripted. Yeah, of course, man.
So let's get the head aligned a little bit here. No one, at least that I know, is claiming it's scripted. No one that I know is claiming it's rigged. Almost everybody I know is claiming the Chiefs get unfair calls, and we all hope, like hell, that it doesn't impact Super Bowl 59. I just want to get that off my chest.
Well, I think that Patrick Mahomes will get those calls for every hit that he takes.
He gets a lot of them, he does.
Jalen Hurts will get those calls maybe for some of the hits that he takes. I don't think he'll get the calls at the same rate that Patrick Mahomes gets them.
I don't either.
That's what bothers me.
I know, Jenkins.
I hope that's not a problem.
That's right.
And I hope that, you know, our worst fears are not realized when we watch
the
game.
Eagles should go into it prepared for that. Like, they have to, like, don't take any extra hits. Don't do anything out of it. Like, you got to, like, be, like, all buttoned up.
Yes.
But you also don't want to play, you know, passes.
Well, of course. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, when he's going out of bounds, be extra careful. Well,
anyway,
kind of
JR, I don't want to hear that nonsense. All right. Good morning to everybody. So look, 215-592.
Can I start calling you JD? What do you think? You want to go by JD?
I go JD sometimes.
Not too bad.
But here's the thing. I won't be a dork and call myself JD.
I'm JR.
What I do is I call myself, we all know what I am, Hammer! All right, I just want to get that off my chest. Good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. All right, 215-592-9494. So let's get to it. Obviously, day two reaction. You know, I'm just going to pose this question right out of the gate. How you feeling? What are you, well, series of questions. What are you thinking? You know, our phone lines were so jammed yesterday. If you wanted to get in yesterday and couldn't because the phone lines were jammed, please do so, you know, right now. If you were too drunk Monday morning because you partied Sunday night, I get it, guys. I really do. We'll take your phone calls right now. If you're, you know, a little bit more in the recovery stage right now, good for you. And also, I'll pose this question to you. Can you believe it's real? And I want to tackle that one first because I got to tell you, to a certain extent, I really can't. I really can't. And hear me out for a second because I want to explain what I mean. I'm not talking about November. Obviously, by November, it was obvious the Eagles were one of the two or three, if you count it, Minnesota. But I thought really one of the two best teams in the NFC. And the Super Bowl was a real possibility come November. I think that was pretty obvious. Here's what I mean when I say, can you believe it's real? And I think in terms of, to a large extent, no. Because of last year, you know, one of the main things, it didn't go through my mind as much yesterday, but waking up this morning, man, I reflected back to last year and how it ended. And it wasn't just ended meaning the last game ended. It was ended meaning the last month and a half ended. I mean, we had never seen a 10-1 team ever lose 6-7. And by the way, not just lose 6-7 where they're like just barely losing at the end, not showing up at the beginning. I mean, there was a playoff game against Tampa Bay. Eagles didn't show up. So, you know, one of the things I think that is so gratifying about this is that the Eagles, man, they came together as a team. I think going into the season, we all knew the Eagles had fantastic talent on offense. I think most of us would say, I'm certainly one of them that would say, I thought the defensive talent was what I'll call so-so. I would say I did not think their team unity would be this strong, very reminiscent of 2017. And I absolutely did not believe that their team resolve would be this strong. That is perhaps more than anything what has really impressed me. They have resolve. You know, I mean, it's that fight through adversity thing. So I admire them. I appreciate them. Obviously, we look forward to the Super Bowl, and we'll get into it in hardcore detail over the next 12 days. But I'm curious out of the gate today, 215-592-9494. Any number of ways you want to attack this from a reaction standpoint, the emotional side, the intellectual side. But again, I'll pose the question, can you believe it's real? Tackle it as you may. John, what are your thoughts on everything here, man? 2 days, about 36 hours or so. What are you thinking?
I can believe it's real because Jalen Carter is franchise changing, and Howie Roseman took a risk on Jalen Carter.
Yeah, he did.
A player who fell to us.
Yeah.
And that was it was absolutely a risk, and the rewards that we will reap are so incredible, and we're seeing it already. Jalen Carter is Chris Jones across the way. You know, Chris Jones, the way he changes games, the way he changed every single snap of the AFC Championship game.
Two best defensive tackles are in the Super Bowl.
Snap.
Yeah.
You're right. Well, yeah. You've got a first-team All-Pro in Chris Jones. You got second-team All-Pro in Jalen Carter. The only reason he's second-team because he's, in
exactly.
his second year.
Yeah.
That's the only
totally
reason.
Totally great.
That's incredible. That is a formative piece of a dynasty team, having a guy like that. But then you look broaden out. Look at the draft this year. Look at the cornerbacks that Howie has added in Quinion and Cooper DeJean also. This is incredible to have the lockdown guy and the nickel cornerback.
Well, it was their weakest position last year.
Swoop.
It was literally their weakest spot.
Yes, and these guys are ass kickers, both of them. And not just incredibly skilled, but they're actually ass kickers. Like, they will whoop you physically if you try them, if you test them. So it's just it all fits. It's so perfect. We have so much young talent in the secondary. Rookies who play so precociously. That feels so great. And our injury luck was phenomenal this year.
It was.
That includes while practicing in pads and hitting because the players want to because – by the way, Nick Sirianni has done an incredible job of convincing the players that they want to. Nick Sirianni, who after four games, I thought might lose his job and might have deserved it, completely transformed himself. Nick Sirianni is almost unrecognizable compared to what I saw in September. And I love what I see. I love the way that this team responds to him. I love the way they show up every week. And, man, they are ready. But Nick Sirianni himself, the way he speaks, the way he conducts business, it just feels like something clicked into place.
Yeah.
Something just totally jive. I don't know if it was the additional pressure, like, hey, you got one last chance after this bye, come out the gates rolling or else.
Well, it's very similar to Doug in 2017, where, you know, Doug hit every button right for a whole season. And Nick obviously had his struggles in the beginning of the year. But, you know, the other thing I'll say is, I think we all love a redemption story. I know I do.
I think that
there's a couple here. There's a couple big ones.
Well, that's the thing. He is so redeemed in my eyes, but that's going to continue. I think he's going to continue to improve because that's what he does.
Yeah.
That's what he focuses on doing. But I'll look back on 2024 and think that this is the year that Nick grew into the coach that owner Lurie promised us he would grow into when he brought him in here.
Yeah, Lurie talks in those terms. It's not quite who you are when I hire you, but who I think you'll become, which is an interesting way to attack, you know, who you hire. James, what are you feeling, man? It's been 2 days.
Honestly, I've been feeling a lot. Something you said yesterday, since you said it, has really stuck with me.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing.
Okay.
You said, imagine if after 1964, the Phillies had come back and won, like, gone back to the World Series or done whatever in 1965. It's unbelievable, man. We were talking about last year, like, the 1964 Phillies collapse. Like, we were like, people who lived through this, that's what they must have felt.
Right.
And now a year later at this time, we're going back to the freaking Super Bowl, man. Like, that's amazing. It's an amazing accomplishment what these guys have done to be able to go from that low of last year and really the off season and leading into this season and to somehow find what you talked about, find this toughness, this resolve, this community, this connecting, like,
and
this whole thing.
And unity.
Unity. Like,
unity.
It is the most impressive turnaround for a team from one season to another that I remember my life as a Philly fan.
All right, look, I love it all. So hit us up on the phone lines. What are you feeling? What are you thinking? I mean, what a day to continue to react with joy in our hearts. Obviously, we'll get to the Eagles in Kansas City as we move a little bit through today's show. Big one today is going to be Brandon Graham. Brandon Graham on our show coming up at 7:40. Is he in? Is he out? And we might be pulling out some Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise, and we want the truth and all that good stuff, because we do want the truth. So we'll find out. We'll see what we find out.
We got to get the camera on that face, because he makes facial expressions the past couple weeks where you're like, all right, he's being coy.
Well, that's why I think we in here have had a greater sense than others, because we've seen his reaction to our questions and the way he kind of chuckles when he answers them. I think he's going to play. I'm just telling you right now, I think he's going to play. So I got to tell you, one thing I love... Rhea, you are hardcore about the referees. I mean, death, taxes, and Rhea Hughes with her eyes on who the hell is the ref and is he going to screw our team?
He called 9 penalties in the Lions Commanders playoff game.
Well, I'll say after the last Super Bowl, I'm keeping my eyes on the ref too.
I get it. I get it. I'll give you one theory. I'll just give you a theory, then we'll get right to the phones. So the NFL was facing criticism prior to the 2017 Super Bowl. Major criticism entering the week of the game because there had been a lot of maybe it's a catch, maybe it's not a catch stuff all through that season and playoffs. And the commissioner actually talked during his press conference leading up to the Super Bowl and said, I think we, and like the refs, should let the catches be more like, it's a catch instead of it's not a catch, in a moment of, not quite sure, 50-50, both the guys on the field and the guys in the booth. And I think that influenced, The Corey Clement play and perhaps the Zach Ertz touchdown. I believe that. Corey Clement play in particular. And I think there is a chance that how much fervor, John, there is about how ridiculous the calls for the Chiefs are, maybe can tilt it back to some, like, fair play where the league's going to say, let's make sure we don't do that. So
I'm not. I hope.
Because it is it's at its highest point.
I will say, Adam Schefter tweeted about it. Like, Adam Schefter,
what he said?
He tweeted the disparity. He tweeted penalties against the Chiefs in whatever games, zero.
Yeah.
Penalties that help the Chiefs. Like, Adam Schefter tweeted about the penalty disparity.
And my point is,
that's a big deal.
We've been hearing about it for years, but we've never heard about it this much. And so maybe that helps the birds a little bit. All right. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Your emotions with the Eagles back in the Super Bowl. Let's get to Matt, Northeast Philadelphia. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, everybody. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
So, I think that this game against Washington was the biggest, most complete game that they've played all season.
I think that's correct, I mean, it's hard to remember them all, but I don't remember a whooping that bad.
I mean, I think that sent a message like, hey, we're not going to roll over. Jalen can pass the ball. We can run the ball. A.J. Brown is not a selfish player. He's out there making blocks downfield, you know. And at the end of the day, man, I think that the way they played against Washington, if they play that same exact way, capitalize on turnovers, everybody plays as a team, KC's not going to have a chance.
Well, look, the only thing I'm going to tell you, Matt, is I just strongly encourage people to resist the urge for KC doesn't have a chance in any frame
God,
of mind.
Oh, God, no.
I mean...
Do you know they have played 12 one-score games this year?
And they win them.
Everyone.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Matt, Matt, I'll give you an example. There is a chance the Eagles play a clean game and KC plays a clean game. Things like that happen. So... I agree with you. If the Eagles play that well, they are likely to win the game. I will totally go there. But just...
Absolutely.
KC is no joke. I'm just going to...
The fact that Kansas City's playing and winning all of these one-score games, I think that spells a difference. You know, that's a change in the way that they've been playing the rest of the league. The last few years is... I don't know. It just seems like they've blown out a lot more people. Then this year, it was tight. It was tight, and it felt at times like they were dragging.
Yeah,
even
that's right.
With
right.
Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback,
that's right.
Which was surprising. So it does feel like this Chiefs team, despite the fact that they're going for that three-peat, it feels like they're a little more pedestrian or something. And I think I made that mistake heading into the postseason. Like, this Chiefs team, not as formidable right. as normal. But then you see the way that they play, and you see the way that they scheme, and you see the way that the offensive and defensive coordinators, everything fits together, and it's so airtight. Andy Reid takes advantage of every schematic situation he possibly could.
Yeah, he's great.
So they're
yeah.
always in prime striking yep. distance.
I know. I agree with everything you said. Here's one thing I'll add. They don't panic.
Yes.
Now, I don't think the Eagles panic.
No.
But the Chiefs definitely don't.
Before.
Yeah.
They panic even less than we do.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
They're going for their third in a row.
Guys, let's be
obviously.
Real. Two years ago in the Super Bowl, I mean, the Eagles, the way we all know what it felt like at halftime, okay? We know what it felt like at halftime. The Kansas City could have been very down on themselves with their first half performance. They found a way. So, mm-hmm. you know, I just want to, again, I'm not trying to dampen the mood, but like, Casey's, there's a reason they've only lost one time this year when they try. They are really good. By the way, when you call in today, your chance to win $150.
But we're really
absolutely.
Good
that's right.
Too.
That's right. That's exactly right. All right, your chance when you call in today to win a $150 gift card for Wild Fork Foods. We'll get you fed here. Of course, for the big game coming up, Wild Fork Foods, your number
one. Be nice
one.
For your Super Bowl party, have all that food.
I would say so. Wild Fork Foods is your number one choice for your game day food with the best prices and widest selections of Angus beef burgers, chicken wings, and more. Find Philadelphia area store locations at wildforkfoods.com or shop online, get same day shipping. All right, here's the deal. So obviously the Eagles get, as we were just talking about, a second chance against Kansas City in the Super Bowl, just 2 years later. It's a second chance for the Birds. Today, I will ask you at 215-592-9494, who or what got a second chance? Best answer, whoever provides that answer by the end of the show. Second chance, notable second chance. Obviously, you would think the person took advantage of it. Whoever provides that answer is going to win the Wild Fork Foods gift card. John, what are you thinking here for second chance?
The first, our new president is going to be the 47th
sure.
after he was the 45th.
We going Grover Cleveland here?
There's Grover.
Grover. Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
There
good
was,
answer.
Good old Grover was the 22nd.
Grover Cleveland.
And then he became a citizen, just a regular citizen, normal citizen, while Ben Harrison, I think it was, right? Harrison was in between them. And then he went back and became the 24th president. So
Grover
that was
Cleveland.
Good for him.
There you go. By the way, I'm reading a book on Andrew Johnson right now. Am I the only Eagles fan right now? reading a book. It sounds like I'm the only one, right?
You might be the only Philadelphian reading
the only human. Actually, it's pretty cool. It's President Andrew Johnson and it's Frederick Douglass and Reconstruction. It's actually a pretty good book. It's a part of history I don't know a ton about, so I'm trying to learn more. Seltzer, who got a second chance?
It's really rare for a baseball manager to manage for 4 years and go 285 and 363.
Can I take a guess?
44% winning percentage. Go ahead.
Terry Francona.
And then become the best manager of a generation.
You went mulligan.
That drove me nuts, Rhea.
Yes,
my God,
too.
When he said his 4 years here in Philly were his mulligan.
But he was right.
He
was right.
Wrong.
He was dead right, man.
Helps to have talent, hurts to not have it. He certainly didn't have it here. Rhea, who or what got a second chance?
Vincent Vega.
Who's Vincent Vega?
John Travolta in Pulp Fiction.
There you go.
His career, he was huge in the 70s, Sweat Hogs and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had like the Who's Talking. And then it was kind of just like a not considered a big deal. And then after that, totally A-list.
No, that's a fantastic answer. Look, big-time answers abound, obviously, for second chance. I mean, one that has to be said. It's a double burger, same game. But the Eagles against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and Nick Foles second time around with the Birds. I mean, it all coincided. That double.
How's everyone doing?
How we doing there, Nick? How we doing? By the way, Nick, if you're still in town, I know you were hanging late night Sunday with people out there on Broad Street. Nick, if you're just waking up, maybe you got like a 9 a.m. flight. Nick, call us, man. I mean, we'd love to talk to you. I started it adding up last night because I actually thought back last night to that Brady game versus the Chiefs when, you know, the thing went off the rails with the Chiefs. I think with Andy's family situation, I think it crushed them. But when you add it up, so Andy's won three.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating.
That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
He's lost 2. He's back in another one. This is 6, John. This is 6 for Andy Reid. Now, the odd thing is it feels like a small storyline as it relates to him having been the Eagles coach. I remember 2 years ago being surprised how small that storyline felt. Even though I thought it would be big, it wasn't. The bigger storyline to me.
It was big for us, but not for the nation.
Yeah, but it wasn't as big for us as I thought it would be.
No, but it was bigger for us than it was for you. It was like nothing nationally.
He was our coach here. But I'll tell you this. To me, the bigger storyline as it relates to Andy Reid is just the schematic advantage he typically gives his team. And whether, it's Andy Reid versus Vic Fangio. You know, it's Andy Reid versus the Eagles defenders in the moment. What do you do? You know, and don't get burned like the Eagles did in the fourth quarter, of that Super Bowl, the whatever you call that move that they were pulling, the wide receivers.
Orbit motion,
that thing. So
I think Andy's got one more bad clock, school Andy moment
yes!
in him. That'd be cool,
yes!
right?
That'd be great. Make him 3-3 in the Super Bowl. By the way, you know what's not cool? So I just want to, I can't spend more than 17 seconds on this, all right? It's off topic, but I just got to get it off my chest. Not cool how Jimmy Butler's handling being Jimmy Butler. I mean, if you missed it, he got suspended indefinitely yesterday. It's
third time,
suspension in about a month and a half.
This was the day everyone was looking forward to because it was the day he was supposed to come back off suspension and be able to play. And he threw another, I don't know.
It's just a joke.
Sort of
so, a buddy of mine texted me yesterday and said 2 things. 1, lockout players, NBA. And 2, no more guaranteed contracts. I mean, guaranteed contracts is how you get to act like this and normally get paid. Now, in this case, he won't get paid for a portion. But what difference does it really make when you still have, like, $75 million in your contract? I mean, what difference does it make? You know, if you miss out on $1 million or $4 million or $5 million, what difference does it make if you've banked hundreds of millions and still have $75 million coming to you? It's ridiculous. All right.
It is ridiculous.
Let's go to
I thought what you're going to say was that Tom Brady is doing the Super Bowl. Like, Tom Brady really feels like the worst color guy to ever have the opportunity to do the biggest
game
there. In the world.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. That's a really good call. He might be the worst ever to get it.
The color guy?
It's a great call.
We know it is what it is because he is who he is.
Yeah.
But, man, he's
been a
good
disappointment.
He's not good at talking about the football games.
And
he makes
many mistakes, like dumb mistakes, calling the Eagles the Phillies and stuff like that. Like, throughout the game, it's, like, constant.
Yes.
I'm not as down on him as you guys are, but he's not good. I'll say
that. Look, I feel like he has something against us deep down, even though he says he doesn't. I feel like that is evident at times, and I know that maybe it's just me being a little bit sensitive.
Okay.
But I also just dislike him. You like him.
I do like Brady.
I do
like Brady.
I can't help it. I just dislike him. Not sure why.
Well, it's Mutual Admiration Society of Greatness between Brady and the Hammer. Mm. Like, he recognizes my dominance Fridays at 7:45 and beat the Hammer. And I recognize, he's Tom Brady.
Oh, he recognizes it?
At all.
Yeah. Oh, I never heard him talk about it.
Text me last night.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
He's like, Joe, I hear when you win, the Eagles win.
With lies?
Yeah. Yes.
He's jealous of Nick Foles and Joe DeCamera.
That's right. Let's go to the phones. All right, let's crank it up. Obviously, great feeling in the air with what the Eagles have been doing. We'll get to Brandon Graham shortly, what he said last night here on WIP. Mike right now. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, gang. On our way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, man, it's a great thing. It really is amazing.
It really is.
Fifth time in team history.
It's funny. This one just feels a little different. Like, yesterday after the game, I didn't find myself, like, screaming and, getting in people's faces. Like, I came down off of this cloud, like the cloud that I was riding the whole season, because I said, you know, after the game, I'm like, you know what, that's the team I expected them to be all along. That's what I thought they could
well,
be.
Well, hold on, Mike. I need a definition of all along.
Not defensively.
All along September, October, or all along March? Because I'm telling you, in March, I thought they were a talented offense, probably an average defense, and a team that was fractured. And I did not think they were this, quote, all along. I really didn't.
So when they signed Saquon, I saw immediately 14-3. That's what I saw. Then the rocky start, and I was like, okay, I think I'm going to be wrong on this one. And, you know, but I was like, all right, well, it's still a good team. And looking around the NFC, I was like, they're still one of the better teams. And as the season went on, and look, and it all started with Nick Change. Like, after that Cleveland game, when Nick Change and when Nick like really recalibrated his emotions and his focus, and
well, Cleveland was the first game out of the bye,
yeah,
wasn't
after.
It?
But it was still ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was
the kids at the press conference game.
It felt right. Yeah, it felt
it's got
too
a
close.
Title.
I think it was 20-16, so a 4-point win over
bad team.
Coming out of a bye, right. It did feel a little underwhelming. But he, from that point forward, figured it out. I mean, he
figured it out.
Well, my recollection is Game 6 was also ugly, and Game 7 is when they started actually playing better.
Was that the Jags game, the one where
No. Game 6 was the Giants. They beat them like 28-3 or whatever, wasn't it?
Until about the third quarter, it was still a slog, and then the end of that game, they got going. That's, to me, when it changed.
But then it all started coming together, and then, you know, and then it's like, okay, this team can be unstoppable. And for me, it was once it was the Ravens game, that's when I was like, that's it. Like, that's it. We're just going to steamroll.
Well, that was Matt. That was big.
I think the point is, like, we are hitting on all cylinders now. I think we are the most functional we've been right now. This is the perfect. You talk about, you know, tapering professional athletes like sprinters and race people. They taper prior to the race. Like, we have somehow, our coaching staff, have figured out how to do that perfectly for football.
They're playing their best football right now. Yeah. Mike, give me a big answer. Who or what got a second chance?
Our very own Michael Vick.
Michael Vick sure did. There's no question about that. All right, so Brandon Graham may get a second chance this season. We are all ears to find out what he has to say. Now, we'll talk to him later today in an hour about whether he's going to play or not. But it was Spike's chance last night to take a crack at trying to decode whether BG will play or not. I appreciate the effort of Spike, the way he framed this question. He wasn't fooling around. He wanted the answer. Did he get the answer? Well, let's find out. Here's Brandon Graham last night with Spike here on WIP.
Brandon Graham, are you going to play in the Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Hey, let me tell you this, man. We working one game at a time, one day at a time.
There's right only now, one game.
They only got one game left.
I know. And one game. It's one game at a time. Well, right now it's one day at a time.
Okay.
Because I ain't heard nothing, man. All I know is I'm just excited to be here. Excited for this team. Excited for this moment, man. Because yesterday Broad Street was crazy. It was crazy.
Yep.
And everybody ready.
Look at
everybody ready for real. And man, look at this turnout right here. I mean, you know how it is. And I knew it was gonna be crazy today. But man, it's fun in Philly right now, and I'm excited for this game coming up.
All right, I just want to make sure we're on the same page here, guys. He wouldn't, like, he's a positive guy, but he wouldn't put all that out there if he didn't think he was probably gonna play, right? Because what I hear is a guy who thinks he's probably going to play, but can't say yes yet. One, because they have to check him a little bit, and two, the coaches are saying, don't say yes. Just leave the door open. We got a game plan. We got to figure it out. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. And we know that Nick and company, they are very close to the vest. You know,
very.
Hush-hush about everything.
Yes.
Any competitive advantage they can prevent the other side from getting, they're going to prevent it. This is one of those things that he's probably not supposed to say anything about. But soon, everyone will know if he's out there practicing.
That's
right. It's just a matter of time.
Do they practice tomorrow, John?
I don't know.
I mean, we'll talk to Elliot
in 2 hours.
I don't know what
their schedule looks like.
What's your recollection when you made the Super Bowl? Were you in the bye era?
I had one of each.
Oh, interesting.
The first one that I was healthy for. It was right through. It was the week we were on a plane after the AFC Championship game. We were on a plane that night.
Yeah, because the NFL changed their a couple times they went from two to one to two. Yeah, flipped it back a few times. Yeah. So can you remember, did Andy have the Eagles practice? I know you were injured in 04,
yeah.
But was there a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday practice in week one?
Yes, I think there probably must have been.
James, do you remember 2 years ago with Sirianni? I mean, we have Sirianni 2 years ago.
I don't, but I mean, I would assume they're going to practice.
Think so. Yeah. It makes sense to, you would think, to try to keep it as normal as possible because that's what he does. So normal would be Wednesday, maybe a walkthrough Thursday, Friday.
But normal then, for a bye week, is you are off.
I mean, they're not going to Cabo, Joe.
They're not going to pull one. Was that Tony Romo? Was that Jessica Simpson?
All right, see
Simpson
you guys or, in New Orleans in a week. All right.
Whoever that was. And then there was Odell on the boat before
the boat,
a playoff game.
The worst ever.
That was bad. All right, so look, you know, Brandon Graham obviously is being coy with his answers. He did provide, though,
He might not know. He might not know himself. You know, it is Tuesday today, so this is the player's off day. If they're keeping it that way, even with the Super Bowl schedule, he might not know until he gets in there tomorrow and talks to the athletic trainers and they do another exam in the morning. You know, he's probably going to be showing up at 6 in the morning or whatever it is. They'll put him through some of his paces, see how he's feeling, and take it from there.
So BG also, though, did provide additional context last night that I think my interpretation is that it speaks to, again, greater likelihood that he'll play than not based on how he framed his recovery process and what he's been going through. Listen to Brandon Graham. This is more of him last night.
You've had a little time now since the injury. Just how are you feeling? Like, do you feel like you're close to being able to play?
Well, I feel good. I do feel good. I mean, that is one thing. This has been the easiest, I will say, injury out of the injuries that I've had. And I'm just saying that because it's not upper body stuff. It's a little easier than, you know, taking a shower, all the little things that you take for granted until you out and you on crutches and stuff like that. This time around, it's just more about making sure I build the muscle, make sure I'm getting stronger, and doing the right things where I'm not hurting it, you know, to where I can re-hurt it. So I know for me, man. We're going to see. We're going to see what the docs say, see what's going on, and then we'll go from there.
All right, it's good stuff. I think he's going to play. Look, we got a Twitter poll question of the day. It speaks to this. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Let your journey begin in the completely redesigned 2025 Equinox from Armin Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevrolet.com. Poll question, do you think Brandon Graham will play in Super Bowl 59? A yes, B no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. And one other reminder I just want to give you. You know, I know sometimes someone, you may be one of them, a lot of people, they get up at this time or shortly before this time, heading into work around this time. You work hard, you get to work early, and can't hear an hour or two later. Know this, if you can't hear when Brandon Graham's on with us today at 7:40, if you can't hear it live, 7:40 to 8:10, you can go back later in the day and hear it on the Odyssey app that houses all of this content. So Odyssey app, two different things. Listen live or listen back. Either one. Do what works for you. So just know interviews like Brandon Graham, if you miss it later. Because I had a buddy tell me about 3 months ago. He listens right around this time and then always has to tune out around 7. I'm like, dude, Odyssey app. It's right there for you. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Doug. He's calling from Pensauken. Good morning, Doug.
Morning, guys. Let me tell you, that Patrick Mahomes flop Sunday, Sidney Crosby, we'd be proud of that.
Oh, dude. That guy. Don't get me started on that guy.
Listen, because when you notice that DeMar Hamlin had a chance to tackle him, he just stopped dead in his tracks, so we started playing scared. You know, you can't play scared like that. If he's running, you know, tackle him. You know, and if the refs going to throw a flag, if you look at him funny, you know, so don't be afraid to get flagged.
Yeah. Doug, I will say this one thing, and man, I think most people will disagree, but I'm going to say it. I did not think it should have been a 15-yard penalty when the guy hit Saquon on Sunday. I actually believe, because I slowed it down, the player made contact with Saquon before he even touched out of bounds. And I thought that
I thought he did too.
Yeah, I thought that is the wrong call.
I happily took
it.
But I thought he connected with him before he went.
He did. Yeah. So I don't know how it's a. I don't know if the guy's not out of bounds, like literally technically out of bounds.
Physics
I don't know how it's
physics.
I'm with you, Ray. But problem was, I mean, the good thing for the Eagles, Saquon's foot was a good probably 2 feet across the white line. So it looked like he was dramatically out of bounds. But anyway.
Yeah, because the refs are seeing it in real time, too. But
I know.
Yeah, it just wasn't on the ground.
We're 5 years from penalties being challenged anyway, so it's inevitable. But, you know, go Birds. I like our chances here. And just, you know, don't give the refs a chance to steal from us. Just pile it on, pour it on.
Totally.
Gas, step in my throat.
Doug, who or what got a second chance?
Jeremiah Trotter. Well, I mean.
Yeah, here.
Oh,
he also got a also got a third chance here.
And then a legacy chance
that's
with
good.
His kid.
No, it's so cool.
I couldn't believe the way he was when he was brought
so
back.
God,
I couldn't believe the destruction, the destructive wake that he left
I know.
On special teams.
I remember,
you know, when he came back.
Killing fools.
It was for whatever reason, they made him prove it again.
I remember.
And yeah.
Seven games.
You can play defense after you play special teams for us. And he mauled people.
He was crushing people. The other thing about Trot, because then there was Trot third time, which was 2009. Trot, I believe, is the only person, I think, in the history of WIP to be a WIP talk show host and leave to go be an Eagle. Like, normally it's the other way around.
Yes.
He was working here, like, 07 or 08, whatever years it was. I think in 09, I think he was a working WIP host in 09, and then there were some injuries middle of 09, and he's like, can you come play? He's like, yeah, I'm
in town. We've had a player do that, and then we also had a president of an organization leave WIP to go be the president of a hockey
Jonesy.
Organization.
Yeah. Although, I think, Ray, give me the answer
yes.
on this. Jonesy, I think, left here, I mean, you know, the Angelo, the transition and this new creation of show. I don't think when the Angelo thing wound down that Jonesy knew at that moment the Flyers thing was going to happen 5-6 months later, right?
Here's what I do know about Jonesy is that he really came in. I mean, he was working so much,
mm-hmm.
you know, in hockey, doing all this stuff for Angelo. He loved working with him.
Sure.
And so, like, you know, he was, I have a feeling that just from what I've heard from people, you know, said all around the league with the NHL, people were not surprised at all.
It's great.
You know, what he did. But he really, the last couple of years, he could have walked away at any point, but he loved coming in with Angelo.
Yeah. No,
not many people say that.
That's cool. And, you know, and we'll get Jonesy on the show. Yeah, it's funny. We'll get Jonesy on the show soon. You know, I mean, we're so immersed in the Eagles thing right now, rightfully so.
They snapped a 2-game losing skid last night.
Yeah, but they're probably going to miss the playoffs.
Probably.
You know, which is a bummer. But we'll get him in here one of these days, you know, probably later in February. And you know, hopefully for an hour or two, and he'll field phone calls. I mean, he's great to do that stuff, obviously. Let's talk to Todd. Todd, you're on WIP.
Hello, morning crew.
Hello,
what
Todd.
Up, what up, Todd?
It's 3:45 in the morning.
You're on California.
That's right. It's 39 degrees outside. I'm sitting in my car so I can wake up my family because we're going back to the Super Bowl.
That's right, man. Number 5.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll always love
hey,
you.
Hey, John, it's just joy. And, John, if I could equate this emotion to you, I would say please listen to Jimmy's opening to Red House.
Wow.
I think that will accentuate what I feel. And
awesome.
Joe.
Yes,
Joe,
sir.
For you, we were talking last week about watching the game and scanning the entire time. This game, I stood for the first play and then just sat down and reveled. I just knew this
well,
game
yeah,
was
it wasn't
absolutely
it, right. It,
amazing.
It didn't churn your insides the way that Rams game did, particularly in the fourth quarter at the end. Yeah, it was like a slipper. It was comfortable.
Usually it's me screaming profanities at the TV, and this time it was my wife. I was so happy that I was just sitting back and enjoying it, and my wife was finally screaming profanities at the screen.
I admire her style. All right, Todd, who or what got a second chance?
Wait, can I point out one more thing?
Sure.
It might be too soon. I don't want to be too critical too soon, but can we stop Cal Kutera from blocking in the backfield? The guy couldn't stop Bryce Huff if he had
to. No, I don't think that's fair. He's not as good as Goddard in that regard, but I don't think he's as bad, at nearly as bad as you're alluding to. I don't think that's right.
They use him to cut off the backside on things. You know, they don't ask him to do quite as much as they do with Dallas because he's just not as good. He is certainly a much better receiver type tight end than he is blocker.
Right, why don't they have Dallas do the blocking and Kutera do the catching?
Well, look, you try to obviously lean into people's strengths and away from their weaknesses, but you can't apply that to every play. It's just not possible. All right, Todd, who or what got a second chance?
I'm going to say Indigo Montoya against the Six-Fingered Man.
All right, my man. You got it, Todd. Appreciate the call. James, John, I need an answer here from you because I just referenced the slipper. You know,
my name is Indigo Montoya. Yeah, you know, the slipper thing is gross.
Well, here's my question. I guess I got the answer.
Gross when you say it.
I just want to know if you are a pajamas
no.
and slipper man.
No, I'm not.
Dude, it doesn't get any better.
Wait, you wear pajamas and slippers?
Well, slippers occasionally if I need to like walk downstairs in my apartment complex, but
like, I don't
pajamas
even know
for sure. For sure.
And then slippers when necessary. I mean,
dude, it's great, man. And if you throw on a big bushy robe.
You know what? I have some flannel.
Yeah, this is big and bushy. This is good stuff, man.
My God.
I have some flannel pants that I can wear around the house. I guess like house pants.
Yeah.
I have some of those. I wouldn't say it's pajamas.
You're moving in that direction.
I am not a slipper wearer.
Just
There's
go for
no
it,
way
man.
I will ever become a slipper
I'd
wearer.
I'd say go for it.
Hey, football fans. It's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.